Bring in Mike Beamish from the Vancouver Sun. Mike, welcome to the Jason Greger Show. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Dean.
Well, let's talk about this BC Lions team who, after a bit of a rough start, getting, you know, Kevin Glenn trying to stem the tide while Travis Lule was injured, have certainly come to life looking for their fourth win in five starts tonight. What's been the biggest turnaround?
Well, for them, I think the Lions, what they haven't been able to do, man, they are a 500 team. They're 3-3. They've had two really impressive wins on the road in Regina and Calgary last week. But the fact is they're only 3-3, and they've really been inconsistent. And I guess it really starts with their starting quarterback. Kevin Glenn's been the starter since the beginning of the season. This will be his seventh straight start, and he's thrown 9 interceptions, which is a league-leading total. The turnovers have really hurt the Lions, although last week in Calgary in the fourth quarter, Glenn did a great rescue job. He fired two touchdown passes, and they end up winning by 1 point. So Glenn has been inconsistent. He's given the ball away numerous times, but he's also made plays. So this is really what the Lions are trying to establish tonight. They're at home. They've lost twice at home, which is very unusual. They've only lost twice at home since they went back into their renovated stadium, which would be September 30th, 2011, against the Eskimos. So up to this season, they'd only lost twice at home, and they've lost twice already this season. So it's just that consistency that they need from game to game. You know, there have been a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
Is that a big concern for the BC Lions, even though it's early in the season, winning at home because they're hosting the Grey Cup?
Well, I think it is, and especially, too, when you look at what the Eskimos have done. I mean, they're 4-1. Calgary's 4-1. Winnipeg lost last night, but they're 5-2, and now they're, of course, in the West Division this year. So I think the Lions, it's important for them to stay within hailing distance of those teams. I mean, as you probably know, the CFL really, the games become that much more meaningful after Labor Day, and you don't necessarily, have to finish first to end up winning the Grey Cup. But I think the Lions definitely want to keep within hailing distance of those leaders and try and get through this inconsistency where we can rely on a certain performance level every week.
Well, let's get to Kevin Glenn and Travis Lule. And when do we expect the changeover to officially take place?
Well, Lule now was on the 6-game injured list. He was at training camp, but he didn't participate in training camp. Like, he didn't do any scrimmages. In fact, a lot of days he just stood there watching the activity. So he was really going through his training camp right now. So he's off the 6-game injury list, and he's been practicing for the last 2 weeks, and he's looked very good. But I think really what the Lions, this is my feeling anyway, is that they'll probably go with Kevin Glenn. Kevin Glenn will definitely start tonight's game, but I think what they're going to try and do is get past Hamilton, and then the following weekend they go on the road to play in Toronto, which is an injury-riddled team. So I think if they don't have to use Travis Lule too soon, it's really good for his development. He'd only be that much better, I think, 2 weeks from now. But I guess, if perhaps Glenn struggles again tonight or on the road, then we could see Lule. It's hasn't been determined yet, actually, who is going to be the backup quarterback. Kevin Glenn will start, but they have a NFL journeyman, John Beck, who has been the number two quarterback. So Beck will probably go in for the short yardage situations. But it'd be interesting to see which of those alternative quarterbacks that Mike Benavides turns to if Glenn struggles.
But Lule is healthy enough to dress and could potentially take snaps tonight?
Oh yeah, no, he's looked very good in practice. I mean, he's one of these guys that was, I guess they give him a 6 to 9 month time frame to recover from the surgery to his shoulder. It's his right shoulder, which has been injured 4 times now in his career, and basically he's been just like a skittish cat. I guess he's been really wanting to get in there, and in practice he just has a real jump to his stride, and he's throwing some excellent passes. So I think he's actually probably sharp enough. And the next test will be, you know, can he take a hit? I mean, is he going to put his shoulder, repaired shoulder, in harm's way again? I guess that's the biggest question mark right now.
Well, there's been no question when it comes to Andrew Harris. He was a dual threat last week. You know, I think he had like 140-plus yards on the ground and in the air and a couple of touchdowns, or at least one touchdown. You know, just proving that no matter what you want to do with this guy, he can do it all. And is Andrew Harris separating himself from Stephen Logan?
Well, yeah, it's very interesting because basically the Stephen Logan came late to the Lions last year. Like, he joined the team, I believe it was in September, end of September last year, from the NFL. And really, Andrew Harris's position as the feature back was threatened. You know, Stephen Logan came in and played very, very well. And Harris seemed to kind of go into a bit of a funk, although he did pull out of it right at the end of the season. The Lions actually, their rushing game improved drastically at the end when they changed their blocking scheme. But this year, when he came into training camp, it's almost as if he's taken Logan's presence as a challenge. I mean, they get along well on a social basis. They're great buddies, you know, good friends, great teammates. But I think Harris emotionally has raised his game to another level. He's got, I think, 722 yards from the line of scrimmage to this point in the season. So if he's on pace for more than 2,000 yards from the line of scrimmage, which would make him only the 20th player in the CFL history to achieve that.
There was a lot of talk earlier in the season about Mike Benavides being in a little bit of trouble. Now that the Lions are 3-3, has that talk subsided? And do you think it was ever real serious that Wally Buono was looking at taking over on the sidelines?
Well, it's interesting because everybody was always on the Wally watch. I mean, Mike Benavides took over after the 2011 season when the Lions won the Grey Cup at home. But Wally Buono has been sort of a, I guess you'd say he's been a kind of, I don't want to use the word two-faced, that sounds too critical, but he's a guy that wanted to step away from football operations. Yet when you watch a Lions practice, he's sitting on the roof, kind of like Bear Bryant up in a big tower, watching what goes on below. So his eyes are always on what's happening with the team. And then last week, this was after they had lost to, this was before the Calgary game. And because they hadn't played well the previous week, he actually came on the practice field with a whistle in hand. He didn't stay very long. He was just there for the beginning of the practice. So I think even though there has been a definition made here that he's tried to remove himself physically from the team, I think the presence of Wally Buono is always there. And it, I would find myself, if I was Mike Benavides, sort of the younger man, I would find that a little bit unnerving, you know, because Wally Buono has been in this league for such a long time. He's been, you know, a tremendously successful coach, the most successful coach in CFL history. And I do think that he's having trouble physically removing himself from the practice field. And really, Mike Benavides is his protege. So I do think Benavides is going to have a long leash. But as people conjecture, you know, it wouldn't take much for the Lions if they went on a bit of a slide here for maybe, Wally to at least have his hand directly in the coaching of the team.
Mike, what are you expecting from the Ticats? What do you think they bring into it tonight? Because they've been a little bit of everything this year, and you're not really sure what to expect from them.
Yeah, and actually, Hamilton has usually played well against the Lions. I mean, they're only 1-4, but they've lost all of their four games by a total of 8 points. They've lost three games by just 4 points. I mean, I think the fact is they've got a very inexperienced quarterback, Dan Lefever, who's, I guess, has only thrown just over 100 passes in his CFL career. Kevin Glenn's thrown close to 5,000. Lefever has yet to throw for 1,000 yards in his career, and Kevin Glenn has more than 40,000 yards. So there's a big discrepancy in experience at the quarterback position, but he looked very good, Lefever. I mean, he in their only win, which was against the Ottawa Redblacks, he ran for over 100 yards and threw for more than 360 yards and had 2 touchdowns. So he's certainly a talented quarterback. It just remains to be seen. The Lions defense has played very well. Their front four has been excellent, and their linebackers have been outstanding. I think Solomon Illuminium is 21 tackles ahead of his closest pursuer in the tackles race in the CFL right now. So I do think it's a very tall order for a young quarterback to go up against a defense like that. But that said, the Lions have been very inconsistent, so it would not surprise me if this game is much closer than a lot of people believe it should be.
Excellent stuff. Enjoy it. I think you're right. I think it is going to be closer. When the Ticats were here, that was when they had Zach Collaros in at quarterback. But it was an awful first half game. But I think the Ticats with Lefevre are starting to get the fever. And I think it will be a much better game than people are expecting. Enjoy it, Mike. Thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, thanks, Dean.